Broadcasting live from Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.com. Whole Foods Market creates win-win partnerships with our suppliers, and we'd love to tell their stories. New Chocolates in Brooklyn offers delicious and classic combination truffles and caramels, sweet, salty, some even with beer. Using single-origin cocoa beans, production takes place right in their shop on Atlantic Avenue. Come have a taste in one of our six Manhattan locations.
Welcome to the food scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Here with the duo of 11 Matson Park, colon, the cookbook, Chef Daniel Hume and GM Will Gadara. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thanks for having us.
On your busy, busy schedule. A lot of things have changed, Will said, since the last time he was on here with a friend collaborator, John O. Pandolfi. Most recently, obviously, this cookbook. Prior to that, a slight acquisition of a restaurant also called 11 Madison Park. Prior to that, 24th in the world for San Pellegrino. Stars everywhere, 3 for Michelin, 4 for New York Times. And a new child for Daniel. So many things.
We always kind of knew 2011 would be would be our year.
What do you do now? You guys are just on vacation, hanging out, relaxing.
You know, actually, you know, now we are owner of our restaurant.
Yeah.
And we don't really know how that is yet.
Yeah.
So we're really at the very beginning of, you know, we feel like we haven't even started yet.
Yeah, yeah. So that much more work that you willed upon yourselves.
Well, yeah, and it's almost as if the cookbook kind of marks a very transitional place for the restaurant as well, where we're really, really proud of what we've accomplished in the past 5 years. We have an amazing team. We, like you said, we just got our third Michelin star, which was an evasive star for us for a couple of years, and we're really, really thrilled to have it. But as a restaurant, this transition kind of marks the beginning of a new phase where we recognize that we have a long way to go, and the exciting part is how do we continue evolving and reinventing and you know, continuing in the right direction.
Well, this is your bitch's brew. A wonderful part of the cookbook is your ode and reference to Miles Davis. Talking about such an artist being able to have an album like Kind of Blue and then completely transform themselves to what is Bitch's Brew.
Yeah. And I think we've done that a couple times. I think our new menu, which came out a year after we got our fourth star from the New York Times and was a part of a renovation of the entire restaurant, was a big risk. And it started with Daniel, as a lot of our ideas do, where he says something that makes me feel like my head is about to explode, but with a little more conversation. And, you know, I think that's the idea of what 11 Madison is. And it's something that started when we were brought in and when Danny Meyer kind of broke the mold and brought us in, and it's something that we feel a responsibility to continue at the restaurant.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure it started before that, you know, at the ripe young age of 14. Daniel, you already started in kitchens and internship and apprenticeship in Switzerland.
Yeah, I started, luckily, really early, because I think it's like almost like learning a language, you know, when you're that young, you just do things. And luckily, I was working in really good places, so I did the right things.
Yeah.
And so they, you know, became really instilled into me. But and then when I was 24, moving to America to become the chef at Campton Place in San Francisco. And at that point, I was just young, and I just wanted to kind of a change in life and learn a different language and go to a different place.
Yeah.
And luckily, it worked out to be, you know, a really great move. But really the, you know, the really great thing started to happen like 5 years ago when Will and I met and we started, you know, sharing the same vision for 11 Madison. And, you know, it's been the last 5 years, it's been ups and downs for sure. But it's been just incredible. And this cookbook, it really marks, you know, the work we do is very hard to capture it because it takes, you know, so many people on a daily basis and to create a dining experience. And, you know, you can't really capture it because the next day maybe different people working, yeah, the season changing, everything changes constantly. And the book kind of just kind of marks that moment of 11 Madison Park today. And I'm really proud to have that. And we'll be able to look back to it and the team will be able to, you know, have it and you know, take on the memory.
Yeah. And I just want to say a quick thing. We're actually going to give away a copy, a signed copy of this cookbook on air, but not without a little bit of trivia. And all you have to do is tell me what the four flora leaves are on the front that make up the EMP logo. Not going to tell you the answer. I almost actually just read that, too. That would be cheating. But call in 718-497-2128 for your chance to win a signed copy of the 11 Madison Park cookbook. Now, you said a lot of people had to come together to actually make this cookbook. That it takes a lot of people to run this restaurant. What was so cool is that not only do you have this day in the life of thing, which we'll talk about, you know, where it's, you know, the hourly breakdown of what happens during service, but there's also that map in the back of where everyone's stationed. So you're pretty much, it's one of the more transparent things I've seen in the cookbook. Say, well, this is how we run a restaurant. This is exactly, go ahead, do your own EMP. So, I mean, it should just come with a couple stars in the book, too, that you can only get once, you know, a Michelin guy comes over. And
well, but, I think, you know, the cookbook, our relationship is a very important part of the restaurant. I think it's a restaurant that is really about collaboration between the dining room and the kitchen. And that's why we chose to approach the book in the way that we did, where there is a lot of narrative text that talk about our story, the philosophies with which we run the restaurant as a group. And I mean, when a chef publishes a cookbook, he's essentially saying to the entire world, hey, this is how to do what I do.
Yeah.
And you do that with the confidence that you're going to continue creating more.
Yeah.
And we looked at everything else in the cookbook in the same way. We're sharing the recipes for the entire restaurant.
Yeah.
And we do that, I think, with a certain amount of confidence, but also as a way to push us.
Yeah.
Because if we don't continue creating, then we've just given everyone everything that we've ever done.
Oh, yeah, I've cooked that at home. Yeah, I can do that. Well, I mean, as shown in pictures in the cookbook, you have these placards in the restaurant that have words and phrases on them, which I'm sure you know by heart, but I'll read them off a little bit. Cool, endless reinvention, inspired, forward moving, fresh, collaborative, spontaneous, vibrant, adventurous, light, innovative. This cookbook embodies all that because I don't know if I ever thought of it as being, okay, we did that, now we got to move on. But all those...
The words really don't need to change. I think, and maybe we should talk a little bit about how we came up with these words.
Yeah.
And these words are actually linked to Miles Davis, which you mentioned before. But at the very beginning, we got one of our first reviews. It's 5 years ago from the New York Observer by Moira Hodgson. And it was a really good review. We got, I think, 3.5 stars out of 4. And the review was, you know, in a way almost too good for at the time because we had a long way to go. But one of the things, and we always try to look into everything and kind of see what we can learn from. And one of the lines was, I wish this place would have a bit more Miles Davis. And, you know, we looked at each other and we're like, what does that mean? We didn't understand.
And, it's like more cowbell.
Yeah. But so we did some research, and we learned everything about Miles and listened to his music. You know, we started putting more Miles Davis onto the playlist at the restaurant, so we really had more Miles Davis. But it was much deeper than that. We came up with a word, with a list of words, of 11 words that were most commonly used to describe him. And these were the words you just read. And these words have been our guiding light for the past 5 years. And, you know, it has been such an inspiration. And the more we learn about it, the more inspiring it has been. So that's just a little story.
Yeah. And one of the things that people have asked us a lot with the change in ownership at the restaurant is, so, you know, is it going to change? What are you going to change about it? And what we say is, no, it's not going to change at all. It's going to keep on changing. And
yeah.
And I think that's the nature of the restaurant, is in order for it not to change, that almost inherently requires that it continues evolving. And so those words have been great for us. And
yeah.
It's been good for me. I've gotten to learn Miles' music a lot more.
Yeah, not a bad artur to follow in the footsteps of. So this book, with all the recipes in there, are there certain things that are not going to be served at the restaurant anymore? Or do you consider this staples, icons of what 11 Madison Park is?
You know, it's a good question. Because in a way, we're too young to settle for certain dishes and just keep doing them. But also at the same time, they're great dishes and we want to keep serving them. They have made many people happy. But I think the answer is within the next 3 years or so, probably these dishes will not be served anymore.
Yeah.
And we will have evolved by then. And I think for the time being, it will be new dishes. You know, we create probably about 80 to 100 new dishes each year. And I think, you know, we bring dishes back that we have done in the past that we really liked a lot, mixed with new dishes. So
excellent. Actually, we have a call on the line right now. Jack, patch him through. Hello?
Hi, this is Francesco Tonelli.
Hey, Francesco. You're not allowed to answer the trivia question because I think you inherently know. How's it going?
It's going pretty well, guys. What
hey,
about
Francesco.
You?
Yeah.
Hi, Daniel.
I was hoping you were here with us.
I know, believe me, I wish you were there.
So Francesco Tonelli is actually the photographer of the 11 Madison Park cookbook, but more so than just a photographer. You know, a master cook, a master chef.
Yes.
So quite a collaborator to have on your team.
No, but you know, that, I mean, you see, you mentioned the pictures before, and I think the cookbook is, you know, is driven by the beautiful photography.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
So how did you guys all start working together? I mean, how did you plan out this mega tome that is the MP cookbook?
I don't know. I think I had it in my head, and then as we went on, everyone is like, "Dude, this book is gonna be really big." And Francesco was like, "Probably never expected to shoot that many dishes."
Yeah.
And I think going way back, Daniel always wanted to make a cookbook, and that process started in the more conventional way in which a cookbook is made, and that is, you get a book agent, you get a publisher, and then they effectively assign you a photographer and a designer, and then you get a cookbook writer. And the word that you said before from Miles, collaborative, essentially what we started to realize over probably the first 6 months of the process was that the book that was being made by virtue of that more classic process was not one that would be a reflection of the restaurant. So we decided to kind of press just stop for a little while and then took a step back and said, okay, the only way to appropriately do this book is to do it with our entire team. And that's when Francesco, with whom we'd already been working, we met him years ago when he did an art culinaire shoot with Daniel, came in as the photographer. That's when Juliet Cesar, who has designed the entire graphic identity of the restaurant, became the designer. And that's when I stepped in as the writer. Instead of getting classic recipe testers, we just took a big chunk of people from our team. Captains, cooks, a whole bunch of people, all of whom were incredibly talented. I'd say 60% of our staff has graduated from the Culinary Institute, and just made it more like everything else that we do, which is a big team effort, which has the positive implications of bringing with it a little bit less experience and therefore a lot less kind of reliance on more traditional approaches.
Yeah. Francesco, I mean, how did this differ from other photo shoots for you? Because, I mean, I almost feel like you were locked in there for a year, going through all four seasons with the amount that these guys had you shoot.
Well, thank God I was getting along with them, or it would have been a very long year.
Yeah.
But actually, if you say how this differs from any other photo shoot that I did before or any other project, I say this was probably the easiest one I had to do in my entire career because, quite honestly, I can honestly say that I've been surprised and shocked by pretty much in each session by the food combination, the plate presentation that Daniel was able to come up every time. And, you know, I remember shooting this in season and in small bites at the time. And after, you know, a wonderful start, I was almost thinking, okay, well, what can he possibly come up with next time? And there it was. It was just getting better and better. And, you know, I feel like this was really an easy project for me because the food was speaking for itself, and all I had to do was making sure that wasn't overexposed and in focus.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, when you guys conceptualized the shoot, it is stark white, you know, from the cover to the plate. Was that an intentional choice of your design?
Well, I think the color of our restaurant or our business cards, our logo is always white with the silver embossed. But I think we also wanted to do a book that is timeless, and we felt that if we gonna use plates, the plates you kind of get sick of the plates. After a while, or it shows, like you say, oh, you remember like 10 years ago we used to use these plates, and so we decided to not use plates, to not have a book that will feel dated within, you know, 3 years.
And it's almost as if a cookbook, the pages definitively should be the plates. Like, that was kind of our perspective, is this is not food that's served to you at a table. This is food that's served to you in a book. And so that kind of approach felt the more appropriate for us.
I feel like the only way you could have made this book heavier is by actually making the pages plates. We're actually going to take a quick break. Francesco, hopefully you stay with us on the line. You've been listening to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.com, and a little Miles Davis for you there in the break.
Oh, cool.
Welcome back to The Food Scene on heritageradionetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel, and that was a little Spanish key from Miles Davis' Bitches Brew. Here today with Chef Daniel Hume and GM Will Gadara of 11 Madison Park. And Francesco, we still have you?
Yes, I'm still here.
Excellent. And Francesco Tonelli, the food photographer for this wonderful book. I just wanted to say again, we have a trivia question where you could win a signed copy of the EMP cookbook, which is, what are the four leaves that make up the EMP logo? And you can either call in to 718-497-2128. Again, 718-497-2128. Or email us at info@heritageradionetwork.com if you're listening to the podcast. And we'll tell you whether or not we still have that book in store. It's a tough question. I only knew two of them, but don't say what they are. Don't say what they are.
They're all leaves.
Yeah.
They're all leaves that are in Madison Square Park.
Ah, so head up to 23rd Street between and start looking around before all the leaves fall off the trees. Back to this book. I luckily just opened up to the Black Truffle page. There are these sections served in four courses of specific ingredients per season. And it's a beautiful double page spread on you know, the horizontal. I don't even know. I've done food shoots in the past. I don't even know how you guys conceptualize and did all this in the amount of time, even though it may have been a year, in the amount of time that you did. How did you guys plot out this book, especially dishes like this?
Well, we have in different times of seasons, we have ingredients that we're really excited about and that we serve in multiple courses. And so in the book, we have, like, you know, the black truffles, we have the heirloom tomatoes. In the fall, we have game that's more a little bit more broader, but then we have suckling pig that we serve, you know, the shoulder, the neck, the rack, like the head.
Yeah,
like,
I was about to say, that little confit is one of my favorite things ever. Yeah. The little sous vide sauce. Yeah.
So we just wanted to incorporate that into the book to really give a feel of what we do at the restaurant.
Yeah. What other elements visually did you introduce into the book to make it feel like 11 Madison?
I mean, I think the table of contents within each seasonal chapter is designed a la our menu now,
yeah,
in just listing the principal ingredient. I think even the way that we did hors d'oeuvres and miniardises, which are a big part of our restaurant, and formatting those pages differently than the rest of them. We wanted to make sure that the food is gorgeous, and just on a white page, it's gorgeous, but that there was variety throughout the book, and
yeah,
that you would kind of stay entertained as you read. And that's why there are those full page spreads of the carrots or the celery root or things like that, that almost are, you know, can be juxtaposed against the perfect clean pictures that exist throughout the balance.
Yeah. And I'm sure Francesco was excited not to have to worry about highlights.
That was my break. That was my coffee break.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But there are also these amazing compendium pages of gels, of all the ice cream bases, of purees that were just wonderfully styled and set up to. You had a stylist, or were you doing all this with your team at the restaurant?
No, it was really, you know, Francesco, he took a lot of pride in these pages. And,
yeah,
and you know, some of these, you know, it's like a page of just, you know, purees in a pan or sauces. And some of these, you know, some of these pictures took like maybe 2 hours to do, and sometimes I would just disappear and,
yeah,
say, Francesco, I have like a 5-hour meeting. I'll be back.
Yeah,
and I would come back, and he would still playing with it.
Yeah,
but
I mean, just looking at the gel page, Francesco, what was your toughest shot?
The toughest shot, that's a great question. Probably one of those where Daniel was leaving me alone with the food. Just couldn't make up my mind. It's you know, it's fun because when we were there like a team, like, to me, the amazing thing, I don't know, I jumped in when you already started talking, so I don't know if this was already said, but, you know, I think the amazing thing about this book is that this food is being, you know, every single dish has been plated by Daniel in person.
Yeah.
So it's not been delegated to any other person, although, of course, he could have probably easily done that. There are certainly people having the ability of running the restaurant and so forth, but this was such, having the special touch that Daniel put in every single preparation. And I know that some of these were just coming out from from the kitchen and we were shooting it, and they were done in like in literally 1 minute.
Yeah.
And they were perfect as they were. And some other that we, you know, we were looking and struggled and moving things around and sometimes replating maybe once or twice. But I think that that was what made the book very special to me, the fact that for once I wasn't, as much as I was involved with the project, I wasn't styling the food myself, but actually I was admiring this preparation being presented to me and surprising me every single time.
But I mean, it wasn't just all a la minute. I'm assuming you had spoken to Daniel about the food, about the recipe, and about the plating before it came out to you. And I mean, you shouldn't downplay. You are an excellent chef yourself and understand technique and foundation. So it's a different conversation that you have with Daniel than another photographer would have.
Well, we definitely had many, you know, we had many exchanges, and that was, I think that's what made this project in a way become bigger and bigger as we were shooting it. We were like, I think both getting excited and trying to, you know, to come up with more and more ideas and feeling like, you know, we wanted to invest even more time and whatever was necessary to make sure that every dish was represented properly and was shot properly in order to enhance the preparation itself. So sometimes we had to change completely the lighting for just to accommodate a single dish and making sure that it was reflected properly.
I think that the thing that was so amazing about working with Francesco is that it was never a contract for him. We were all partners in making a book, and you know, all the pictures at the end with the basics, that was something that we hadn't anticipated doing from the beginning. But at a certain point, we realized that that section, the basic section, was going to be one of the really powerful parts about this book that made it a really accessible thing to a lot of people. That even if you're not prepared to try to make one of the incredibly composed dishes, that there's a lot of things that people can pull from that section and use in their own repertoire. And we didn't want it to feel like a table of contents. We wanted it to feel like its own section. And just Francesco's commitment and dedication to making it a really, really fantastic piece was amazing.
Yeah, and you got fed well too.
Is that at the end of the project, I think I gained 25 pounds.
I know. It's they got the freshman 15, but the cookbook 20. It ain't too bad. It's an accomplishment. I actually want to talk more about the day in the life, which I keep on going back to because I photograph in kitchens and, you know, have been doing so for a decade and see this. And that was another great transparency. To show that there really is only half an hour that 11 Madison Park doesn't work, doesn't strive for more. And there's that one calm breath between 4:30 and 5 a.m.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of people know the ins and outs of restaurants, or rather their opinion or their knowledge of them are based on what they see on television. And that's not our world. A lot of the restaurant worlds that are depicted on television are not what we live on a daily basis. And this was kind of our effort to say, hey, this is what these restaurants look like. This is how these restaurants work. And I say these restaurants because it's not just us. Obviously, there's a bunch of restaurants that operate with the same focus and precision and mentality that we do. And this was kind of a way to say, hey, come into our world and see how this kind of restaurant actually works and how we spend our days. And it was a fun thing to put together.
Yeah.
That took our entire team to put it together.
Well, I mean, I love little excerpts like at 8:30 in the morning, all purees are finished and chilled. I mean, people that are cooking from this cookbook, I'm sure, are not waking up in the morning making their
No, they have purees. To, otherwise the food doesn't taste good.
Yeah, you have to do it verbatim to this. But show that there are inherent steps that you guys take to set up your mise en place to be able to execute these dishes. But then reorganize it, take it out of context, and let someone be able to do a dish without, you know, doing a 23 and a half hour day.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think even, you know, beyond the basics, even just some of the dishes, there's plenty of things that you could take that dish and remove a few components, and it would still be a great thing to cook.
Yeah. Now, Daniel, I mean, there are so many amazing recipes out of this book. Do you cook any of these for yourself at home?
You know, definitely, like, the probably not an entire dish just like it is, because at home I like to be more spontaneous. But I think, you know, every recipe has so many great techniques. And, you know, when I make a puree, I make it a certain way.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what flavor it is. Or, you know, when I make a sauce, there's a certain way about it.
Yeah.
And as you read through the recipes, you start to learn a lot about how things are made. And you also start to see that not every recipe, everything is different, because there's a lot of, like, I don't want to call them rules, but there's a lot of things, just the way we do things.
Yeah.
And then it becomes really interesting when you start to, you know, go to the markets and you pick your own vegetables and your fish and your meats, and you kind of apply what you've learned through reading through these recipes.
I was out at his house with my girlfriend and him and his wife and his two daughters 2 weeks ago. We spent the day together and we had the chicken from the book. That's a good one.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Talking about the purees, I think something as simplistic as that shows how complex 11 Madison Park and your prowess is, in that it isn't just, well, you know, make this mush, strain it, plate it. That each, from chestnut puree to chanterelle puree to, you know, artichoke, that there is a step different. At least one step different in each one.
Yeah.
But it's about how you treat each specific thing. It's not just, well, now you know this technique, you can do that and apply it to everything.
Not quite, but you will see a through line.
Yeah. And same with, like, the oils and, you know, some of the gels too, even though most have, like, agar-agar.
Yeah.
It's about solubility and how they combine. So, I mean, it's an amazing tome to teach there with. One other thing is the map, which itself is very cool, because you don't get to see... everyone thinks behind the scenes is the kitchen, but there are a lot more people on the floor and moving parts that help orchestrate a dining experience. What do you think the map illuminates?
For me, I never really worked in fine dining at this level until I ended up at 11 Madison with Daniel. And over the past 5 years, we've kind of worked together to learn. He knew most of them already, but learn all the rules and then decide which ones we wanted to follow and which ones we wanted to break. But one of the things that I was overwhelmed by in the process was just the sheer number of people. And in our case, the sheer number of incredibly talented people that it takes to do something like what we do at 11 Madison. And we just think that's cool. And we thought it was a really, really appropriate thing to share with people, to say, hey, you sit down in the restaurant at the table for two by the windows, and this is what you experience. But this is what goes into that. And this is, these are the people and these are their positions. And then, you know, in the following pages, we talk about what all their responsibilities are, because the hierarchy and the delineation of roles and responsibilities is crucial in the restaurant working well. And it was a fun thing for us to share, and we thought it would be something that people would appreciate.
Yeah. Number 18, polisher. I mean, people laugh at that, saying, oh, that's a funny little job, but it is a vital role there.
That's actually one of the most difficult positions in the restaurant.
Yeah, yeah. So don't go applying for polisher at EMP unless you want to work your ass off. I mean, I can't say enough about this other than, you know, you don't need to work out if you carry this around all the time. It is an excellent book, and it is actually approachable. I think that was a worry of a lot of people having dined at EMP.
Also, you should know that all the recipes, that was really important to us, although they are the way we make them at the restaurant, and there are no secrets held back. Everything is right there, and they have been tested numerous times. And, you know, in home kitchens, I mean, the recipes work, you know, we made really sure. And even with sous vide and, like, liquid nitrogen and stuff that we use at the restaurant, we gave alternative methods to get to the result.
I'm still coming to 11 Madison Park and letting you guys cook for me.
That's not a bad thing also. Yeah.
And one other, you know, accolade of this book. You guys talk about moving forwards and forever evolving and changing. you know, as much as this split up into sections and seasons, I see it as a life cycle. I see it as 1 year in the life of 11 Madison Park, and I'm just looking forward to seeing what happens next.
Thank you. We can't even begin the process of wrapping our heads around anything like that.
We'll have you guys back when you actually know what you're doing. Excellent. Francesco, thanks for joining us. Will, Daniel.
My pleasure. Thank you for having excellent. Me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Food Scene on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm your host, Michael Harlan Turkel. Hoping to have you back here next Tuesday at 3. Ciao.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening. The following is a public service announcement from Food Karma. To kick off the New York City Meat Week in style, Meat with a Twist will bring together the best chefs and mixologists for a cocktail food pairing party on November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Meat with a Twist features 10 cocktails paired with 10 chef selections highlighting local, sustainably grown meat such as duck, lamb, chicken, pork, beef, bison, and ostrich. The party will launch a week's worth of events throughout the city that celebrate the slow food movement bringing sustainable meats to our tables. Again, that's November 7th from 6 to 10 p.m. at City Winery. Updates, tickets, and more information are available at meatweeknyc.com.